Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Hey folks, before we start the show, here's a quick recap of the big contest underway on our Patreon page. In case you're just joining us, the 1,000th subscriber at BobSeskaShow.com or Patreon.com/BobSeskaShow will get to host an entire show with me. You'll get the chance to rant about Trump or whatever's on your mind to tens of thousands of listeners. Again, that subscriber number 1,000 will get to co-host this podcast for one exciting episode. So when you get a chance, make sure to stop by our Patreon page at BobSeskaShow.com or Patreon.com/BobSeskaShow and sign up for at least $1 a month. If you want to sign up for more, fine with me. You'll hardly miss it, and you'll be supporting the show in the best way possible. Don't forget to tell all your friends, too. Again, that's BobSeskaShow.com or just click the all caps Patreon link beneath the logo at BobSeska.com. Thank you in advance, and now let the cartoons begin.
Broadcasting from Resistance Headquarters, relentlessly fighting back against the clown dictator and his regime of deplorables.
Never give up, never surrender.
This is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
President Obama speaking from the East Room of the White House, telling the nation and the world President Obama is in fact dead. It was a U.S.-led strategic, Osama bin Laden is dead.
Confusing Osama's name with Obama?
It's kind of easy to do.
Osama is dead.
Obama is dead.
Details that have never before been heard about how Obama was killed started when Obama took office. He directed the head of the CIA to make killing Obama their number one priority. They got a possible lead on where Obama might be hiding.
After decades of searching and a worldwide manhunt, federal agents discovered Obama's secret location.
American operatives had learned Obama that bin Laden was hiding out.
Osama was hiding out.
The intelligence said Obama was hiding in a compound deep inside Pakistan.
Oh my gosh, did I say Obama or Osama?
So emotional to find out that in fact Osama bin Laden had been caught.
Coming to Washington, D.C. on the day that, you know, they take Obama out. I mean, Osama, Obama.
Quite a weekend, wasn't it? Besides that wedding that went on
yes,
Friday,
and then Friday, you reviewed it
all weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Obama finally caught last night.
Fox, we understand our sister station are saying that Osama was buried at sea at 2 a.m. That would be 7 in the morning in the UK. That Osama was buried at sea.
Bob Seska.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, Bob. Hello.
The Bob Seska Show.
And you wonder why Barack Obama didn't get any credit for hunting down that guy. It's because I kept mixing up his name, goddammit. From our nation's capital, It is Tuesday, September 10, 2019, and this is the Bob Seska Show presented by BubbleGenius.com. It is the greatest soap in the universe. Hi, what's up? My name is Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, day 964 of the Trump crisis, day 131 of the constitutional crisis, 419 days until the 2020 presidential election. Oh, and it's Tuesday, so let's bring him in, my friend Buzz Burbank. Hi, Buzz.
Hello. Hello, Bob. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Bob, I'm sorry. I got to start with an apology. I'm so sorry.
Okay.
I had to cancel our secret meeting. I got a job interview for National Security Advisor.
Oh! Already? Wow, they work fast.
I can't make the secret meeting. I'm trying to make it up to you. Here's what I'll do.
Okay.
Here's what we can do. You can drive from there in D.C. Uh-huh. down to Florida,
yeah.
Gas up your car here,
yeah.
pay to stay at my place, and then we'll charge it to the taxpayer.
That's perfect.
You can do that now. I didn't know.
I heard. That's a thing.
The outline for today's show is written in Sharpie, and if you contradict us, you will be fired by Wilbur Ross.
What an asshole. Yeah, he's in trouble.
Yeah, indeed. Speaking of which, as Sarah Palin and her husband Todd have broken up.
Yeah, too bad.
A big darn deal.
Now, from her house in Alaska, she can see divorce court.
Sad.
Right, so, such a shame. I'm so sad.
I see all the news stories, Bob.
Uh-huh.
I saw the pilots at British Airways have gone on strike.
Uh-huh.
The airline says during the strike, nearly 100% of its flights are canceled. So apparently the rest of the flights are being piloted by Nigel from accounting.
That guy doesn't know what the hell's he doing. He barely knows how to fix the Xerox machine.
Hey, and here we are. It's September already. Uh-huh. September. I love this time of year.
Yep.
Everywhere you go, there's this scent in the air. It's a combination of pumpkin spice and impeachment. It's amazing. I love it. My favorite time of year.
Mine too. You know, it's a good thing to savor. When this time of year rolls around, impeachment in the air. I love it.
That's right. I love the smell of impeachment in the morning.
Exactly right. Okay. Lots to talk about today. Thank you so much, my friend. John Bolton has resigned.
Yes.
It seems like Trump was trying to make it seem as if Bolton was fired last night. But Bolton says, no, 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 no. Bolton's story is this, that Bolton last night went to the president and said, I want to resign. And the president said, well, let me think about it and we'll talk again in the morning. And then Trump is saying that Bolton resigned last night and he accepted the resignation last night. So, I mean, who do you believe? I mean, it's a competition between Buzz. The two loopiest guys in Washington, D.C. are now calling each other liars.
Yeah, well, we live in an age where you have to ask yourself, and I think one of the late night comics pointed this out, whether to believe Trump or the Taliban.
Right.
Because it's possible that the Taliban has it right. Right, and Trump has it wrong.
Oh, God.
In this age that we live in. And so if that's the case with the Taliban, it certainly is with John Bolton.
Yeah.
A couple of interesting things about this. First of all, I it isn't really important, is it, whether he got fired or resigned.
Right.
He's the third to go. So we're waiting for number four now.
Yeah, that's right.
But that doesn't make it any less interesting. Like I said, it doesn't matter how or why he went or how he went, but why is very interesting. There was a power struggle underway between him and Mike Pompeo, and it became very clear who the winner was. I mean, it looked like Bolton had it. It was an exciting match to watch because it looked like Bolton had it with Trump's decision to cancel the Camp David sleepover with the Taliban.
Right, not a smart thing.
Yeah, Bolton was against that. Bolton was against a lot of kooky stuff that Trump wanted to do, like meet with Kim Jong-un and all of that. There was this struggle. Pompeo is a go-along, get-along guy, which is why he has survived, and Bolton has not. Bolton spoke his mind, and Trump doesn't like that. So there was a great deal of tension there. You knew the match was over when, I have to look up the term for this, but when it was Pompeo who was the one who appeared on all five of the Sunday morning news talk shows instead of Bolton, it was clear who had won that power struggle because it was in the hours and a couple of days that followed that this disagreement between Trump and Bolton boiled over, and Bolton was out. Whether he resigned or was fired, you know, our tendency these days is whatever Trump didn't say is the truth.
That's right.
So, yeah, you know, but it's hard to say, and really it doesn't matter. What matters is this was the power struggle. Bolton, there were some things that you and I are against that Bolton was against, and now he's gone.
Yeah.
It's always a mixed blessing with this administration when somebody goes, because on one hand, you know, Bolton was considered a warmonger. In fact, that was another thing. Trump used to tease Bolton about that all the time. Hey, a warmonger over there. Who you want to bomb today? You know, I mean, there was a lot of this.
Jesus Christ.
There was a lot of this bullying from Trump on Bolton all the time. So this little man with the mustache, with the gray mustache, who looks like a Disney scientist, is out now.
That's one of the funniest descriptions of John Bolton, and I've never heard that one before. That's perfect.
Can you picture that scientist in your mind?
Absolutely. Sure.
Our Mr. Sun.
I mean, again, it raises the question, why is Donald Trump hiring someone who he completely disagrees with on just about everything? And why is John Bolton taking a job knowing that Donald Trump has this America First isolationist foreign policy and has no interest whatsoever in a neocon foreign policy, which is what John Bolton represents? And so why do you bring him in? I guess it's eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Donald Trump takes a dartboard and throws it. What is the qualification here? Because he's had a series. I mean, I guess you have to go back to Mike Flynn to find someone who Donald Trump actually agreed with on foreign policy and national security. And then you've got H.R. McMaster in there for a while, who Donald Trump completely disagreed with. I mean, McMaster was regarded for a period of time there as being one of the adults in the room, one of the quote unquote generals who would keep Trump in order. And then he lands on John Bolton, of all people, brings in John Bolton. And shocker that this would last. How long has it been? Maybe less than a year, hasn't it?
Definitely less than a year. And like I said, the third, we're ready for number four now.
Yeah.
And you know what it is, I think, is because nobody loves Russia the way Flynn loved Russia.
Right.
And that's the soulmate that Trump is looking for in a national security advisor. It would certainly appear from this week's news, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I mean, here's how the back and forth went down over the last 12 hours or so. Trump tweeted this morning, or just maybe an hour or two before we started the show, "I informed John Bolton last night that his services are no longer needed at the White House." And then Bolton tweeted separately, "I offered to resign last night, and President said, let's talk about it tomorrow." So, again, as I said, who the hell do you believe in this situation? Frank Luntz here tweeted, I'm looking at this page on Mediaite. Frank Luntz apparently tweeted saying, "A source just texted John Roberts Fox." I guess that's a reporter, John Roberts,
yes,
from Fox News.
Yes.
"On air right now that John Bolton resigned at 11:30 a.m. this morning. Then Trump tweeted at 11:58 a.m. that he fired him the night before."
Shit. Right.
So
that's typical.
Donald Trump's ability to tell time is about as good as his ability to look at a map and find Alabama. Those two things are a couple of Donald Trump's glitches. Those are areas where the brain worms have been particularly active.
Telling time requires a level of truth, and again, he's just not capable.
So too bad about John Bolton. My concern always, Buzz, is this. As soon as someone crazy leaves, I'm always concerned about someone crazier coming in. For example, Bruce Bartlett tweeted this earlier. He said, "Well, you know, Alan Keyes is available."
No!
And I said, no. Because Alan Keyes might be one of the people who's actually crazier than John Bolton. I know it's a difficult hurdle to clear. To be crazier than John Bolton, but I think Alan Keyes is right there.
I'm sorry, sir. Satan is booked. Can we get you Hitler?
That's right. Well, meanwhile, to talk about people stepping down, this guy is stepping down.
Very rude for members. Yes. Order! Order!
Yeah, more chaos in the UK. I guess we should bring in this music again for our Brexit music. The House of Commons Speaker, John Bercow, who we had a lot of fun with on Thursday's show,
yes,
is stepping down. Meanwhile, there is the no-deal Brexit has been blocked by Parliament.
Right.
So there will have to be a deal Brexit, which means an agreement with the EU over things like immigration, EU residents who live in the UK moving back and forth, also free trade and so on. That is the deal and, Brexit. It's a softer Brexit, right?
And because Parliament has been adjourned until 2 weeks before the deadline, British lawmakers will have 2 weeks to manage all of those things that have not been managed until now.
Yeah, yeah. So, meanwhile, a national election has been blocked in a landslide opposition vote. So, another loss for crazy Bojo. Boris Johnson. Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh, right.
And, ladies and gentlemen, that has been our Brexit update. Because that's about the extent of what I understand about what's going on.
Same here. That is the width and breadth of our knowledge. Thank you for joining us. For you, chaos.
Yeah. Very rude for members. Order.
Exactly right. Okay. So now that we've got that out of the way.
Yeah, we do.
Okay. So next thing up here, we're right in the midst of people are voting in the North Carolina 9th. In this special election that was hurled into turmoil. Well, the reason this special election occurred is because of major election fraud that the culprits actually have confessed to. So they had to have a special election in that district. Now, it's important to emphasize the fact that, again, this is another thing where I wish, much like the Bolton story, much like all of the polling that we're seeing, much like the RNC canceling four primaries, four Republican primaries in, I think it's Nevada, your home state of Kansas.
Kansas.
Right. And two others. I forget the others. Maybe North Carolina or something like that. And possibly Alabama. I'm not sure. Well, I'm just going to throw in Alabama anyway, because you can never forget Alabama.
Put a Sharpie line around that.
That's right. Always.
Alabama!
Right. So among those things, those are all things that make Donald Trump look really weak. And it seems to me as if there needs to be more discussion over the inherent weakness of Donald Trump as an incumbent. I don't think this is getting enough coverage, quite frankly. And one of the best examples of Donald Trump's weakness is the fact that he had to go do a rally last night in the North Carolina 9th, despite the fact that the North Carolina 9th, in 2016, the Republican member of Congress who won that election in 2016 won by 16 points. So it's a Republican plus 16 district. So the Republicans should have no trouble normally winning an election like that. Meanwhile, Trump won by 11 points in that same district in 2016. So now he's got a campaign, though. He has to go there. He has to expend effort. He has to expend political capital. He has to tweet about it in support
of his reelection effort. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, for Dan Bishop's chances.
But you've just made it clear Bishop's a shoo-in anyway. So he's there for himself, I think, don't you think?
Well, I don't think Dan Bishop's a shoo-in. And in fact, I think the polls are neck and neck. I think there's a very strong chance that the Democrats going to win, which again, emphasizes the weakness of Donald Trump. Because in addition to all of that, Dan Bishop has really positioned himself as Trump cosplay. He's really like a Trump clone in that district. He's behaving like Trump. He was on stage last night at the rally talking about the fake news media and doing his best Trump impression. And not literally, he wasn't just he wasn't doing the voice. He was behaving in all but voice like Donald Trump. And again, there should be no reason why Donald Trump should even have to campaign there. It should be a no-brainer. The Republicans should easily win, but it's neck and neck, and there is a pretty strong chance that Trump could win. Now, the only thing that at all concerns me is the fact that the Trump campaign people are making a big deal out of this. They're letting it leak that they're concerned about the North Carolina 9th, which seems like it's always a bit of an expectations game in those cases where they may be trying to put it out that they're worried. So in case they win, they've defied the odds. So that's how they're positioning themselves on that election.
And I think Trump wants to be able to point back at this as see what I did, see how I helped him get reelected, you know. So but I don't know, because we don't know how any of this is going to turn out.
Well, he was doing the same thing. I want to say it was during one of his chopper talks, perhaps it was yesterday, where he was talking about how he had to go and campaign in Kentucky for a Republican candidate for Congress, right?
Right.
There's no reason why Donald Trump should ever have to go and campaign in Kentucky. But he was talking about that as if that was a sign of strength, and it's not. It's an inherent sign of weakness on his part.
He only speaks where he thinks he can get a good crowd.
Right.
Where he thinks there are a lot of red hats. Honestly, yeah. I mean, he wants to go somewhere where he'll get a big crowd and be loved.
Yeah, because it's not so much campaigning for whoever it is he's campaigning for.
Right, no, it's him. It's all about him always.
It's him, and he needs to bathe in that adulation in order to keep his spirits up, you know, otherwise. That's right. Otherwise, he just disintegrates into a puddle of his own self-loathing. Which is always fun to imagine.
I was just sitting here picturing a puddle of self-loathing.
The last night, if you noticed him talking in North Carolina, you could see the puddle forming because I haven't seen anyone sweat like that since Marion Barry. My God.
Yeah.
He's sweating like Nixon.
And he made up some stuff about people were lined up outside that were soaking wet. He got jumped on for this because it was like sunny and dry. But I think the humidity, I think maybe they might have been wet. Maybe that's what he was thinking. I don't know. But he did make it sound like they were standing out in the rain to see him when indeed they weren't.
Oh, yeah. I think it was the C-SPAN cameras tilted around and showed the crowd. This may have been... I don't think this is necessarily where Trump does his usual dog and pony show where he talks about how there are thousands and thousands of people outside waiting to get in. And so at some point, I think after that, the C-SPAN cameras dollied around and showed the floor crowd, and the whole back half of the floor was empty. So there were just people mulling around back there, but there was so much more room for other people. If there were thousands of people clamoring to get into the building last night, there was plenty of room. And so, of course, this is the usual Donald Trump lie about
Wouldn't surprise me if they kept out those who didn't need to be kept out just to have the line.
Yeah. Well, you know, I wanted to get to this story because, again, I don't even know how to prioritize this crap, Buzz. I'm just doing the best I can trying to figure out what's
the crazy week.
Yeah, it really, really is, because normally the biggest story of the year would be the president of the United States diverting Air Force planes from their normal flight path so they can land at Prestwick Airport in Scotland, which is an airport that is, as we all know, this airport is struggling financially to stay afloat. And of course, Prestwick Airport is also very close to Trump's Turnberry golf resort, right?
Which is also struggling, like losing $6 million in the last 2 years.
Yeah. And so suddenly we learn that the Air Force has been landing and doing stopovers. They're refueling stopovers. I don't know how many millions of dollars. I think it was $11 million spent on
fuel at the airport. I don't know if there are airport fees that have to be paid or anything like that, you know, pay for services.
But
$11 million in fuel or $11 million spent at Prestwick Airport. And although the airmen got bargain rates at Trump's place, their per diems covered the rooms, which they got bargain rates on, but they had no money left over to order, say, food.
And Trump tweets out that the Air Force airmen, they all have such great taste in hotels. Excellent taste.
The part that made me laugh out loud about this tweet is that he talked about the airport, which he says he does not own and has nothing to do with, and the resort that he does have something to do with. And then he ends it with, "None of this has anything to do with me," in all caps. Well, I think everything about this is about you.
About him, yeah.
But it was important for him to make that claim in all caps so that the record would be cleared as far as he's concerned.
Yeah, he said, what did he say? "I know nothing about an Air Force plane landing at an airport, which I do not own and have nothing to do with, near Turnberry Resort, which I do own in Scotland, and filling up with fuel with a crew staying overnight at Turnberry. They have very good taste. Nothing to do with me," as you said, in all caps.
What a maroon.
Yeah, I mean, again, let's go back to one of the several parenthetical statements in this tweet. Let's go back to "which I do not own and have nothing to do with." The second half of that statement turns out to be entirely 100%
wrong.
It is wrong. He has a lot to do with the Prestwick Airport because Scottish officials have revealed an agreement between Prestwick Airport And the goddamn Trump organization.
Yes.
Yeah.
Signed it. Signed it in 2014 at Trump's urging and under his directly involved direction. Yes.
Yes. Yes, he has nothing to do with this airport that he signed an agreement with back in 2014. See,
and because if that airport goes under, which it was on the verge of doing, then the resort, which was already losing money, would just would be the end of it. That would be the death of the thing. So Trump was all in on saving this airport to protect his investment that he's still in debt on that resort. And so, he was helping the airport. He was helping the resort, helping the airport that would save the resort and doing it at taxpayer expense, of having these airmen fly out of their ways, miles out of their ways, between Alaska and Syria on supply flights that had been made regularly. Other stops had always been made in Italy or Spain, Germany, perhaps. But, on the rare occasion, perhaps in Britain, but never there, never in Scotland, never at that airport. No.
God, so ridiculous. I mean, Rachel made a good point, Rachel Maddow, the other night, saying, well, I mean, there are military bases all over Europe, over the British Isles. You can go and land at any military base and only have to refuel with American fuel that you don't have to pay a premium for at, a failing commuter airport, which is, again, it is, even if it wasn't a right next to a Trump property, even if there wasn't an agreement between Trump and the Prestwick Airport to drum up more business for that airport, therefore enabling Trump Turnberry, the fact is that it's just a dumb thing to do. It is a stupid waste of money that should never have happened in the first place.
It's more than that. It's Trump using his presidency, the power of his presidency, to profit from the American people. And that is an impeachable offense.
Yeah, I mean, my God, just the past, 3 days have revealed how many new articles of impeachment are in the pipeline right now.
I wonder if he has it's like an advent calendar thing where he ticks off, every day. It seems like every day there's something unconstitutional.
That's right. And so on top of all of this, I mean, you start doing the running through the list of things.
There's more?
Yeah, there's a lot more. I mean, this right here obviously could be an impeachable offense. Then we get down to, for example, Wilbur Ross now threatening to fire NOAA officials, NOAA officials, for contradicting Trump on his stupid goddamn Alabama gaffe. Once again, this is a major betrayal of the public trust. The fact that Donald Trump has just not let go.
See, I just feel like he's digging himself in more deeply as this thing progresses.
Yeah.
And this is a show I want to watch. This is a show I want to see because national weather. So Wilbur Ross runs the Commerce Department, which oversees the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, which oversees the National Weather Service. Well, so Wilbur calls up NOAA and says, no criticism or contradiction of the president's weather forecast.
Yeah.
And NOAA passes the word down to the National Weather Service. And the National Weather Service, the director of that at a weather gathering, a conference in, ironically, Alabama, stands up and he gets a standing ovation. He asks the folks from the Alabama National Weather Service office who contradicted the president in that early tweet, asks them to stand up. They get a standing ovation. Today, the director of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, in direct defiance of his boss, Wilbur, came out and stood up for the scientists in that organization. And so what's fun about this, what makes this a good show, is the professionals, the career professionals, the scientists, the experts, they're not backing down. They're not taking this crap. And so get a good seat, because this could be fun, and it's all because he couldn't take the criticism and he had to get out his little vandal Sharpie and vandalize that weather map.
Yeah, well, thank God the scientists are stepping up and saying something at this point, because what's happening here is obviously the politicization of NOAA, NOAA. But I'm afraid what their excuse is going to be is, well, the left already politicized it, so what the hell, why not politicize it? And they're going to say, the left politicized it by all of this climate crisis crap that NOAA is also tasked with studying and reporting back on. And I think in that sense, the Trumpers are probably going, well, this is normal to politicize, you know, NOAA and this organization, the National Weather Service, too. And that is not normal. It is wrong and it is terrible because we're about to enter into, well, we're actually in it now, but it's going to get worse as time rolls on, this major climate-based catastrophe that we're going to have to be dealing with around the world, much less inside the United States. So to have a reliable service like this, a reliable agency passing along climate-based science and weather reports and so on and keeping tabs on all of these things, we're going to need to rely on these guys 100% as we move through the climate crisis and hopefully are able to at some point in the future mitigate it. But this is a terrible time to be turning NOAA into a political football. And this is, again, another fantastic illustration, fantastic in the worst way possible, of Donald Trump destroying institutions that we absolutely 100% require. And we have a lot of fun talking about
Alabama.
But at the same time, this is a deadly serious story on the other side of all of the gaffes and ridiculous, flailing, loopy desperation from the president about something that he should have never said in the first place and continues to dig himself, as you said, dig himself deeper in a big puddle of shit. So there's that. Add that to the list, right?
Well, and it does illustrate the lengths he will go to try to upend institutions. I think that I don't know that they'll bother to make up that excuse that it's okay to politicize because the left did it. I don't know that the ball will be carried that far. I think this is going to be about. I think this will die soon. First of all. And the other thing I think is that science is going to win this one.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why I think so. The next time you get a tornado warning in your area, you're going to listen to the National Weather Service and you're going to trust the scientists and the meteorologists that they're telling you the truth. And I think regardless of what color hat you wear, you're not as likely going forward to believe a Sharpie line on a map. I don't think this is one they can win. I think this is one they hope will die. I think the president, after 5 or 6 days and nearly a dozen tweets, I think he's finally letting this go, that he's just about run out of gas for fighting this. The great part is the meteorologists, the scientists, have not run out of gas, and they agree with you on the importance of this. But I'm not as worried about this as I am other institutional attacks he's conducted, because I think we're safe on this one. I think science has perhaps already won the day.
Well, I think my greater concern is maybe not an across-the-board idea where everyone's going, oh, NOAA's just a political organization. They're not really telling the truth here. They're just doing political spin. My concern is the 40% of the voting population that supports Donald Trump. They're going to move forward now thinking, well, I mean, Trump turned it into a political thing, so I guess it's now a political thing. We can't trust anything they say moving forward, especially if a Democrat is president. If a Democrat's president, they're going to be political about it too, and so therefore we need to just disregard what NOAA says. It's all in some, maybe even from minor damage to catastrophic damage, it's somewhere in that spectrum of just ruining the integrity of NOAA. This is Donald Trump. Once again, I said it in pretty grotesque terms on Thursday, that Donald Trump likes to smear his taint. He likes to scoot his butt on things and ruin them for everyone else. And this is just for his own, just because he needs to scratch an itch, because he needs to do something to keep his name in the news or whatever personal motivation that he has.
Yes.
And And so I
agree with you. This is a bad thing. And we've talked about why it's actually an illegal thing.
Yeah.
But I find myself there are so many crimes, so many things going on, as you pointed out. I find myself prioritizing. And while this absolutely must be recorded for history, this thing we're talking about with the weather, while it's an absolute must to make note of this,
right?
It's lower on my list of concerns. It's part of that overall bigger concern, of course, about damaging institutions in general. Like I said, I feel assured that he's not going to win this one, and in fact, we'll probably let it go soon.
Yeah.
The list is intense of the things that he's done just in the past week. It's it's appalling, right. and most of them outrank this weather thing, which, while entertaining while representative of greater damage, is in and of itself, I think, fading and of lesser importance than some of the other things.
Yeah, see, normally I would prioritize it around the same place on the list as you right. are. My only concern, I think the only thing that pops it above that maybe other items on the list, is just his relationship with the climate crisis, because NOAA has a task, a mandate
sure.
to study that, to report to the American people about that, and so I feel like its authority has been undermined a little bit by Donald Trump, and I'm glad to see, though, that the scientists are perhaps ameliorating some of those concerns. So we'll watch and see what happens then.
And I also think the public is just now coming to associate the National Weather Service with its parent agency, NOAA.
Yeah.
For a long time, the climate information has come from NOAA mm-hmm. and to some degree from NASA.
Yeah.
And the people who choose not to believe in climate change use them as the enemy. They've been the enemy.
Right.
Meanwhile, people live their lives day to day getting their forecasts from the National Weather Service,
mm-hmm.
Which is part of NOAA, but they kept on trusting that.
Yeah.
And I think to this day they trust that. And as they see on the news these two things coming together, their own local weather and the change in climate, as they see those topics merging on their television sets, I think they're going to go with science on this. And
yeah.
In fact, most have already been won over on climate change anyway. A solid majority of Americans believe in man-made climate change and that something should be done about it.
Well, the consolation is that a majority of voters in this country, at least, are normals.
Yeah.
They're normals. We're all normals.
About that. About that.
God.
You talked about You talked about the 40% that support Trump.
Yeah.
No, thankfully, it's not 40%. And we're now looking at a range, Bob. And I remember when we talked about him getting down to like the 33-36%. That's how we know he's screwed at that point.
Yeah.
A recent poll had him at 27.
Oh, wow.
The highest poll I've seen lately for him was 38. So he's not even 4-10, and maybe nearly down to 1-4. The range has slipped. His numbers have slipped, but so has that range, that margin of error, if that's the correct terminology.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
That has lowered also. We are zooming in, Bob, on that 33-36% range that you and I must have talked about a year and a half ago.
Oh, yeah, sure. And obviously from these numbers, based on these numbers, it's actually confirming something that I've been forecasting for some time now, which is that the 40% number, as you said, is soft. There's about 10% of those people that would easily abandon Donald Trump if they.
I think so.
The wind blows the wrong way.
I think he could still lose about 10% if from this lower number. I think now that it's already lowered some, I think he'd stand to lose another 10%, depending on what comes out in the impeachment hearings that will be part of our new fall television season.
That's right. I can't wait. It's my favorite show of the fall. Okay. Yeah.
One more thing. I'm sorry. Just one more thing.
Sure.
Because it has to do with this 40%. I wanted to get this in. Or now less than 40%.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I don't listen to that so much anymore. That's why I don't care what their excuse is for politicizing, because I honestly think that they're forming their own demise here.
Yeah, I think they're just walking into their own propellers. Is exactly what's happening.
I'm exhausted from that. We need a break.
Yes, we do. We need to talk about Plexiderm here in a second. I got to talk about this. This thing was Trump and foreign spies and pulling a spy out of Moscow. And then I have a journalism question for you. I want to gauge your opinion on something that went down last night related to this story.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. Good. I'm glad we're talking about this.
Okay, so we'll get to that in just a second. But first, picture your face in the mirror. Do you see all those wrinkles around your eyes? How about crow's feet, Buzz, or those large under-eye bags? I'm not saying you have large under-eye bags. I'm saying someone else might have large under-eye bags. Now imagine for a second that they're gone. I'm not talking about some risky, expensive surgery, just gone in literally minutes as you're standing there in your bathroom in front of the mirror. You can watch it happen in real time. It is called Plexiderm, a clinically studied serum that visibly eliminates your wrinkles, crow's feet, and under eye bags in just minutes. It's the edge you've been looking for. I love it. Kimberly Johnson loves it. In fact, when we got our first canister here of Plexiderm, we both tried it. We took the test. It actually worked. I mean, I'm not making this up. It was one of those things where I said, okay, yeah, show me Plexiderm. I bet this really works. Sure. And we tried it, and bingo, of course, it worked. Plexiderm can give you the confidence you need to look to be yourself at work or out with your friends. The best part is Plexiderm goes on clear, so nobody will know that you're using it unless you tell them, of course. Go to tryplexiderm.com and use my code SEXYLIBERAL. That's two words, sexy and liberal, for 50% off, plus an extra $10 off. This offer is also available by calling 1-800-685-1292 and mentioning the code SEXYLIBERAL. Plexiderm is backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Tryplexiderm.com today and use code SEXYLIBERAL at checkout. That's tryplexiderm.com. Thank you. The Bob Seska Show.
The Bob Seska Show.
This is the scenic route in Paper Town. This is from their epic album. Link in the description below. Go to bobseska.com/music if you want to submit your independent music to play on the show. And what? We got an indie music countdown coming up at the end of the month. We just did one. I don't know why I'm promoting another one already, but...
Well, because, and you know what? It's worth going back and listening again, even if you've already heard it. And if you haven't heard it, go listen to it, because it's got really good music like this.
Yes, absolutely. And in fact, we've had one other song by The Scenic Route on the countdown. I think it was in our first or second month of running independent music, airing independent music here on the show.
My advice, listen to all of them.
That's right. 100%. Okay. Let's get back into things here. So Trump doesn't like using foreign spies. This is a story came out today from CNN. Trump is skeptical.
They're snitches. Snitches, Bob. They're snitches.
That's right.
You can't trust them.
Again, this is another bullshit thing that he just suddenly comes up with. I don't like foreign spies. Don't get them anywhere near me. I don't want to hear anything they have to say.
You don't know who they're working for. They're snitches.
Right. And this, of course, connects in with the story that the CIA had to pull out one of their best assets inside Moscow because they were afraid that Donald Trump was going to out that spy.
Like you wouldn't believe an asset. I mean, this guy was there for decades. He was a Russian. He worked his way up very quickly through the bureaucracy until he got very close to Putin. He'd like take like spies. He would take pictures of documents and send them to the CIA. He's the guy who told the CIA in 2016, hey, the Russians are screwing with the election. This is how important this guy is. And suddenly they felt he was in danger.
Yeah. I mean, let's not focus too much on the spy, him or herself. Let's think about this in terms of Donald Trump being a threat to the national security apparatus of this country. The president of the United States is a national security threat. He is in significant danger of either intentionally, because he is, of course, an agent of Russia, or unintentionally revealing national security secrets. And how do we know this? Well, because he's already done it. He's done it a bunch of times. He did it with Kislyak and Lavrov in the Oval Office, for God's sake.
In fact, I believe it was shortly after that or around that time that they pulled this spy out. I'd like to say that spy is important because the CIA is now deaf and blind inside the Kremlin thanks to the removal of this spy. So, yeah, it affects national security, but remember how Putin helped Trump get elected and all that? Well, now we have no idea what's going on there. Our intelligence community has no idea what's going on there. And all because the intelligence community, it became very clear to them that Trump cannot be trusted with classified secrets. This from the guy who ran on Hillary Clinton can't be trusted with classified emails.
Again, more damage. My God, the damage that he is doing to national security, to institutions up and down the executive branch. It is amazing to behold and staggering and upsetting all at the same time, because you wonder, God, how long is it going to take for them to repair the damage from just pulling this spy out alone? How long is it going to take them to reestablish some form of communication from inside the Kremlin that they can rely on?
What are the chances they'll find another recruit, and how long will that take? And how long will the cultivation of that recruit take, just as it took years with this individual?
Yeah,
it's serious. And like you said, there's an overall fear. I mean, I think, in fact, we know from reporting that there are some things intelligence just doesn't tell the president because they know he can't be trusted with that information.
Jesus. And the most frustrating thing is the people who really need to hear this are not going to believe it. They're going to think that it's fake news. Right. That is the system breaking down all around us. Now, there's a kind of a corollary to this story, and it was reported last night for NBC News by Ken Delanian.
Yes.
And who went on Rachel last night, and Rachel and Ken Delanian were talking about this story, and then I went and checked it out because I was really concerned as to whether or not this story was newsworthy. And basically, Ken Delanian was able to track down the whereabouts of this spy that was pulled out of the Kremlin and relocated for his or her own safety. And now Ken Delanian reports that he was able to track down where that spy was living. I think he also has the identifying information that he withheld from the story.
Yes,
he knows. And he withheld the specific location of where this guy lives. But he did report that the guy is living in the Washington, D.C. area. He narrowed it down enough to give Vladimir Putin enough time to track down where that might be, right?
And other information that I don't think either one of us want to repeat here. I think there's I let me give you just the little glimmer of good out of this. The tiniest glimmer of good that can possibly come out of this.
I think I know.
If he was able to find this guy, then so could the Russians, so could anybody. Yeah. And there is reason we should know that and be concerned about that, so that action could be taken to protect this guy. I hope it has been taken. I hope it's been taken in time. But I think you and I are on the same page about the rest of this. It was shocking to hear this information revealed, even with the man's name. Delanian said he had the guy's name. He knows where he lives. We know it's a guy now. We didn't even know that until Delanian's report. This is a dangerous business. I now, if this guy gets assassinated, and it just seemed to me, and maybe you detected this, I'm pretty sure I could see Ken Delanian's erection. I think because he was so excited. He was so excited. You could see, go back and look at the video and the grin on his face, and his eyes are just sparkling because he's so excited that he got this scoop. And his point is well taken, that if stupid me could find him, you would think that the Russians could too.
Yeah.
I get the impression, since he was approached by a couple of men in black suits, that that this guy is being watched and to some degree protected. He was brought here kind of against his will. At first, he didn't want to come back to the United States for safety. He thought he was going to be okay. And then, Trump showed up in the White House with Kislyak, in the Oval Office with Kislyak, and the guy said, I think I'm going to leave now. I think I'll take you up on that offer now. And so, reluctantly, he came to the U.S. And so, Delanian has all this information. I think it was wrong to reveal it. I assume you and a lot of other people felt the same way.
I absolutely feel the same way. And, in fact, I tweeted about it just as it was happening, just as it was coming down last night. I said, how is this news where, doesn't this put the spy in significant danger? Now, there is going back to what you're saying in terms of maybe the narrow, sliver of daylight in all of this, is that maybe it reveals the incompetence of the CIA on some level. Like, why would they put him so close to Washington, D.C., so close to CIA headquarters, for example? I don't know if that was the point, because it was never really explicitly revealed in the context of the story. So I don't know. I don't think Ken Delanian even said something along those lines last night. That was an incompetence thing.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I've gotten the impression from him or somebody else that this was this was temporary housing. That this was basically a stopover for where he's ultimately heading.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, it seems to me as if Ken Delanian could have very easily gone to the CIA, whatever his contact is there, and said, hey, you know, look, I was able to track this guy down. You might want to do a better job of hiding him. That would have been, the extent of his duty in that particular story, instead of actually taking that information and then reporting it, too. I mean,
he didn't have to. Yeah. He didn't have to run to the streets to with that story. In fact, were I a reporter who'd obtain that kind of information, I think I'd be more inclined to save it and refer to it historically in a future story.
Well, it was one of those things where I was watching it happen on television. That's the first I heard about it was on Rachel. As they're talking about it, I'm going, yeah, and? I mean, what is the what is the hook here? You found the guy.
Right.
But I don't understand why you're reporting this. Usually with these kinds of stories, you go, oh, it's because there may be, you know, I thought maybe he was going to reveal, well, if the Russians come after him, they're going to hit him with some toxin that could endanger the people who live in the neighborhood around the spy or something.
That could happen, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I was trying to think of a reason for why this was being reported, and Ken Delanian never actually clarified that. I don't believe until this morning when he was on Morning Joe, I think what you just said as far as, well, if he could find them, then it would make it, then it stands to reason that Russia would be able to find them very easily, too.
Right.
That, I think that point was made on Morning Joe this morning, too. And in that case, I guess if I was the editor, I would say no.
I don't justify. Yeah. If I were the reporter, like I said, I would have just kept that in my back pocket for future reporting when it was clear or I was able to get confirmation that this guy is no longer in any danger. I hope that between the breaking of Delanian's story and our conversation today that this individual is getting new and better protection.
It just seemed like one of those things that could undermine the press itself, but just revealing something that's extraneous and actually endangering the person that it's about. So, so that was my deep, deep concern about that particular story. But, I mean, this, again, links back to an ongoing crisis between Donald Trump and Russia. And now there's this additional layer with Ukraine that I've been talking about since May. I think New York Times had a piece out in May where they were talking about how the Trump campaign is going to try to make a big deal out of the fact that that Joe Biden's son, Hunter Biden, sat on the board of this Ukrainian gas company that was being investigated. And then Joe Biden went over there to try to squelch that investigation and threatened to withhold billions in loan money, which turned out to be not entirely accurate as far as the motivation goes, because the investigation itself had been shut down, at least put on the back burner, by the time Joe Biden went to Ukraine to speak with the prime minister there.
And ultimately, he and his son Hunter were cleared.
Yes, absolute 100%. So this is something that has then grown into an attempt by Donald Trump and especially Rudy Giuliani to collude with Ukraine in plain sight, to offer them concessions, to offer them, or maybe even to go so far as to extort money from them.
Yes, now, ding, ding, ding. The president of Ukraine doesn't like Donald Trump.
No.
And does not support Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Does not trust Donald Trump and will not do the thing that Trump is trying to blackmail him into doing. Trump is saying, well, you know, you may or may not get this $250 million that we promised we'd give you to defend yourself against Russia. It all depends on whether you will somehow hurt Joe Biden, maybe launch this investigation into the company, the gas, natural gas company, and Hunter Biden's association with it. This time Trump is accepting not only foreign help, he's extorting for it.
Yeah.
He's extorting foreign help. This is just beyond mad. This is just beyond mad. And to me, this is more important than weather, than the weather thing. No, I mean, I respect what you're saying. I'm crazy for arguing for the environment. I'm all in on that. But as well as the institutions of government. So I don't disagree with you on those things. But this stuff, because this is, look, and I'll cover this on my news in more detail this week. But Obama did four things. yep. to punish Russia for invading Ukraine. Hit them with sanctions, pushed them out of the G8, making it the G7. Gave aid to Ukraine, this $250 million, military aid to Ukraine to fight off Russia, and the European Deterrence Initiative. They did that to provide other countries that were vulnerable to Russia, money for their defense against Russian aggression. Because who knew where Putin was going to go next? Mm-hmm. Well, Trump has now effectively damaged, ladies and gentlemen. Now this is important. He's damaged all four of the things that Obama had the U.S. doing to punish Russia for its taking of Ukraine.
Yep.
He's reduced the sanctions. He's trying to get Russia back in the G7. He's damaged the European Deterrence Initiative, and he's threatening and possibly has already canceled the aid to Ukraine. Done, 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 and done. Mm-hmm. You're welcome, Mr. Putin.
Yeah, that's right. And the other thing that deeply concerns me about this is... And I'm talking specifically about, for example, this $770 million being diverted from the European Deterrence Initiative by Donald Trump in order to, again, help Vladimir Putin. And whenever I hear a story like that or the spy story or something like I think, why was this not in the Mueller report? I begin to question again the thoroughness of Robert Mueller's investigation.
Fair. Yeah, I think Mueller himself would tell you it was not in his aim ever to be thorough. He felt he had a very narrow assignment, and he stuck to it. It really is up to Congress to have investigated this other stuff. In normal times, the Justice Department and other government agencies would adjust. Now we're down to just Congress. But it is absolutely their authority to investigate this. And, they do have a few investigations they need to conduct. So they have a lot. They have a lot on their plates. And that's why I'm so relieved that they're taking that first impeachment vote this week.
Well, to answer my own concern, actually, I think this is all part of the counterintelligence investigation. I think maybe my looping Mueller into this was a little bit hasty. I think this is more connected with the fact that Donald Trump might actually be compromised and therefore operating in support of Vladimir Putin. And that would all, I believe, fall under the purview of the counterintelligence investigation, which has gone dark. I don't know. We haven't heard anything about that. I don't even think Adam Schiff has made a statement. I don't think he's been on Rachel to talk about the counterintelligence investigation. So I have no idea where that whole thing is right now in terms of status. And hopefully we'll find out soon. But we do know, speaking of Adam Schiff, this is also some pretty good news because Adam Schiff and, of course, Foreign Affairs and Oversight Committees are going to be investigating this Ukraine collusion. And that this is obviously great news. Three different congressional investigations are going to be happening as far as this Ukraine thing goes.
And this is true. You're going to see a lot of this is all part of the impeachment process, and you're going to see a lot of inter-committee investigations. I think what you're going to see going forward now, and this will be more fun, the subcommittees. Subcommittees move much more efficiently. They're not as weighted down as the committees they serve. And the subcommittees will be assigned because, look at this. The room is a mess. There are toys and Legos everywhere from Donald Trump. And you need a lot of people to handle this chaos. And so all of these committees and subcommittees will be very important because there's so many things to pick up.
And on top of everything else, as if any of those things weren't enough, we have now obviously devastation in the Bahamas from Hurricane Dorian. And something that Donald Trump, I think, now has a chip on his shoulder about. I think he actually thinks of this, unless the hurricane hits a place that he kind of finds electoral votes in.
A.K.A. white people.
Right, right. As soon as there are white people involved, then he gets really excited and interested. But because there are lots of brown people in the Bahamas, it doesn't really matter to him as much. And those brown people aren't living in Alabama either. So he doesn't.
Very bad people in the Bahamas. I saw I'm just going to steal from a tweet here. Someone had written, and I thought this was rather brilliant. It's that old gambit again where you pick a country that's going to be hit by a hurricane like the Bahamas, and you go there, you're a terrorist, and you go, so you go to this island where there's going to be a hurricane so that you can sneak your way into the U.S. as part of the relief effort. And so we have Trump on the White House driveway saying, very bad people, very bad. There are people who shouldn't even be in the Bahamas, and we don't want them coming here. Very bad people, gang members, very bad people. They're brown people, and no, dumbass, terrorists do not go to the Bahamas before a hurricane so they can get rescued to the U.S. My God, there's just no end to this man's stupidity.
So this is a combination of a couple of things. I mean, remember, Buzz, we were talking about this with regard to Roger Ailes, this immense level of persecution and paranoia that these guys have. And Donald Trump is the same way. Again, the loudest voice is very allegorical about Donald Trump, not just Roger Ailes. It's really kind of a parallel track to Donald Trump. There's a lot of similarities. And this degree of paranoia to think that refugees from an island that's been devastated, the photographs, the aerial video of the Bahamas just with flattened communities and refuse and destruction lining the shoreline.
And Trump says we don't need them here because there are places on the Bahamas that weren't hit. They can go there.
Yes, that's what we're taking them to, the places that weren't hit. Well, you're just dropping them off and leaving them there. That's helpful. But he looks at a tragedy like that and thinks of it in terms of, well, who's the enemy? Who's going to try to get me? And what happens is, what he's really thinking about are Bahamanians who are going to come to the United States and stay here and register to vote and then vote against him. That's what he's concerned about. He's concerned about losing votes in Florida. That's his entire concern.
And along with a lot of other Republicans working to try to prevent the expected demographic shift of 2045 when white becomes a minority.
Yeah. And so, or, you know, it's either something that he has concocted out of his immense paranoia, or it's something that he has heard on Fox News Channel. Someone has gone to him, or someone has communicated to him through Fox and said, they're going to be terrorists with all of those refugees. You better not let them in unless they have a visa.
Always. That's how they get in. It's the oldest trick in the book, Bob.
Yeah.
It's the oldest trick in the book.
Well, I mean, if you're going to play the paranoia out, what about next time when the terrorists will get visas for themselves and just be able to come in with a visa? I mean, it seems as if that's your qualification. All you're doing is telling these fictitious terrorists, well, next time go get a visa and then you can make your way into Florida.
If you only had a visa, you could come do whatever you want.
Right. It is tragic. It is horrible. It is destructive. And, as I said on John Fugelsang's show on Monday, after Donald Trump leaves office, whether that is 2021 or, as he was hinting at the other day, 2026, something like that, after he leaves office, it is going to be a second reconstruction in this country. We have so much work to do as far as rebuilding the country, not only in terms of political offices, starting from the ground up, like Carl Frisch is doing in Fairfax County with the school board there, or in terms of realigning our standards in terms of who we consider to be presidential. And these are all things that need to happen. Plus, on top of all of that, possible laws that need to pass, sort of like after Watergate, another round of those.
All those executive orders. I mean, is somebody keeping notes? I hope somebody's keeping notes.
Yeah. I mean, there's going to be
I do.
There's going to be an entire list of executive orders that Elizabeth Warren or Joe Biden or Bernie Sanders or one of them is going to have to spend, you know, a good couple of weeks after inauguration just doing nothing but signing reversals of all of that.
We're going to need a bigger shredder.
All right. Well, speaking of the election, we're going to talk about Brad Parscale coming up on the Postmortem Show. Also, how much money Donald Trump has raked in from his properties since being inaugurated. maybe even a disturbing new Emerson poll that I want to talk about for a second, and a whole lot more. That's at our Patreon page, BobSeskaShow.com, Patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. If you sign up for $5 a month, you get the postmortem show. You sign up for $10 a month, you get the postmortem show. And the after party on Fridays, it's a bonus show that we do every week, me and Kimberly Johnson. And if you sign up for $15 a month, you get all that stuff, plus a commercial-free ultimate edition of this show, of the Tuesday and Thursday shows. Plus, of course, our interview show, the Indie Music Countdown, and all the rest of it on our Patreon page. Meanwhile, coming up on Thursday, it is the best hour of news that you're going to get all week. It is Buzz Burbank News and Comment at buzzburbank.com, also realmnetwork.com. Put that in your schedule. Make that part of your weekly podcast listening schedule, and you will regret it. Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, my friend. All right, we won't have you next week, will we?
No, I'm going to visit my dad for his 91st birthday.
Oh, happy birthday to Buzz Burbank Sr.
Yes.
All right, my friend. See you on the Postmortem Show. Bye-bye.
Hey, this is Jody Hamilton, host of the podcast From the Bunker. If you enjoyed this episode, you'll love my show, where every week Sean Barton, David Shockett, and I discuss politics, sports, pop culture, that show on HBO that I don't watch. Find it at sexyliberal.com and on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, and everywhere else you get your podcasts.